You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 193, for the week of October 17th, 2012.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. My name is George Albor.
My name's Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. And today, dear listeners, we're going back to what we started last week, which is The Walking Dead by Telltale, the series of episodic games. Today, instead of talking about some of our general impressions, we're going to go right into the tasty, meaty portions all the spoilerific morsels of the two episodes. We have a lot to talk about, and a lot happens in episode 3 and episode 4 that, in my opinion, is really, maybe drastic is the wrong word.
No, I think that's probably underselling it.
Yeah, I think it crazy shit happens, and I think not only that, but it's crazy unexpected shit, I think, based upon the sort of precedent that they've set in the previous episodes. So, we want to get into it. We're going to hop into spoilers right off the bat. We highly encourage that you, one, play the game if you haven't yet, and two, go back to last week, listen to episode 1 and 2 if you want to hear our spoiler-free thoughts, and then come back once you've played it and check us out here.
Yeah, and just as a preview, we'll be doing a similar thing next month when episode 5, the ultimate episode, is released.
That's right. Okay. So, two episodes. We'll start with the first episode, or rather, episode 2. This was called...
Or episode 3, you mean.
Episode 3, yeah. Excuse me. Long Road Home. And there are a few places to start, but I think we should start with...
I mean, I wrote down all of my... Again,
you have all your choices.
I have all my choices in front of me just because I've been fascinated as to how they've been going. I mean, the first one isn't that important, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was the first one... Me and 41% of other players shot the girl in the street who was being attacked by zombies. Like, you had the choice as to whether to try to save her or let her go or whatever.
Yeah. I did the same. Yeah.
Why'd you do... I mean, I did that because she was going to be turned into a zombie, so if I could shoot her in the head anyway, then I thought maybe the zombies would still feast on her a little bit before turning her into the zombie. The choice was framed as, oh, you could just use her as bait and have the zombies be distracted by her.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea in retrospect.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird because we know it's a video game, right? Underlying it all, we know that Lee's not going to be eaten because he made this moral choice, right? It's not always, that's not necessarily the case in the real world. I like to think that I would give someone that sympathy bullet.
Yeah.
I would want the same benefit.
You've told me this on many occasions. Like, you've made me swear to you that I would kill you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've told...
If you turn into a zombie.
I've told all my loved ones, like, look, I will not hesitate to shoot you if you become a zombie, and I hope you have the same respect for my life as I do. To mixed reactions, admittedly.
Nah, I totally support that.
You know, and so I did it. You know, I took their life, put them out of the misery. It would have been somewhat interesting to have that have more severe repercussions. But,
At that point, you know, we had talked a lot about Lee and us controlling Lee to try to, like, set an example for Clementine. And at that point, it was just Lee and Kenny and, you know, it was really just the adults in the room, you know?
Yeah. What's the second event?
The second event was whether to leave Lily behind. You're holed up at the motor inn and then... Some bandits make it an untenable position, and you have to abandon it. And it's strongly intimated that one of your party members was working with the bandits and somehow caused the motor inn to fall.
Right. Okay, so this is where I really want to get into this idea that this isn't for the first time, and we talked about it for the last two episodes, but I think this is a major sticking point for some players. So, you know, I wrote an article about The Walking Dead for a while back, and there was a poll on the Walking Dead wiki about their reaction, to Carly's death at the hands of Lily. And people were upset that Lee couldn't step in and make a choice. He couldn't stop it. That was inevitable. And to jump ahead a little bit, that's the same for Duck, and it's the same for Katya.
Mm-hmm.
And people were upset by that. So this is the first time where, like, okay, something happened. So tell me your reactions the moment Carly, or I think you chose Carly, right?
Oh, yeah. Carly, because Carly was my sharpshooter, you know? Like, she had been really, really good for the party. And then Lily thinks Carly was the one who was feeding the bandits information and trying to buy them off and working to undermine the group.
Yeah.
So after some discussion, Lily just whips out a gun and shoots Carly in the head. Like, just, you know, very, very randomly. And I'm sure my reaction, which was basically yelling, "Oh shit!" was pretty much the same as everyone else's who was playing.
And so, what did you do? Did you leave her?
You know, I'm looking at my notes that I was writing down as I was playing the game. And after I wrote it down, I have a little note here that says, "Fuck her and her dad, both were unpredictable." and so I left her behind because I could not truck with having someone in the party that was that unpredictable.
Yeah, I made the same choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good to know.
It's good to know that you and I will survive in that.
Yeah.
You know, the other big thing about that reaction was in response she commented, "Oh well, Lee, you know, you admitted to people that you were in prison at one point, and doesn't everybody get a second chance?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my thought was like, "Well, no, I mean, I was in prison before the zombie apocalypse happened." And now we don't have the time for that. You know, you cannot trust someone like that with that type of behavior in this situation.
Yeah, I felt really weird about that too, because the end of episode 2 was essentially, for both of us, was Lee trying to argue that you had to bring some of the old world into the new world with you. You know, like, you can't just go around murdering people. But then, you know, I played it just like you did. Like, she didn't give her a second, he didn't give Lily a second chance, which is something that Lee got. And so it's just kind of weird. Like, I felt like there was a little bit of tension between those two types of decisions, you know, like, maybe I should have offered forgiveness.
But see, in my mind, it sort of is a second chance in the sense that, you don't kill her back. You don't stab her or whatever.
You just leave her where the zombies are walking around.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a slight chance that she could survive.
That's true. It was just a really... To see a human on the road alone like that, and there's just kind of zombies creeping up, it's like, oh, man, that's pretty rough. But, I mean, again, I couldn't.
So how did you feel about her death not being able to be affected by your decisions?
I feel like in another time, in another place, maybe when I was even a different age, perhaps, this would have annoyed me a lot more.
Yeah.
Because gamers are so used to having agency. Like, everything is their choice, and they want to craft it, you know, to be exactly what they want to do. And, like, this just rips it away from you.
Yep.
But, you know, because that's such a novel thing, it doesn't bother me all that much. And because, like, the parameters of the game, and even the game, the way I'm setting myself up in the game, like, I'm turning off the notifications, like, I don't really know what's happening and when. I'm pretty ignorant of the larger context. Like, I don't know, that feels like part of the social contract of the game. Like, it didn't really bother me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, it felt like there was some precedence from earlier games that, you know, this isn't just Lee's story. Mm-hmm. So it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about this when we get to Katya and her death as well, because I think that maybe what really ticked people off was that it doesn't happen just once, but it happens three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And this was... Like you were saying, this was one of kind of a pivotal episode for that. Like, so many times it's taken out of your direct control when something terrible happens.
And I think that they did it intentionally. I think they want to emphasize in this third episode that we are abandoning this concept that you have complete agency over everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they set it up in the first two, I think, but they really hammer it home in this one. And we'll see whether or not that is successfully done to prepare people for episode 4 or not.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next decision, shall we?
Okay, yeah. So the next one, a lot of stuff happens in between the next decision. I mean, you're driving along the road and you come to a, a, a train crossing where a broken down train is blocking the road to Savannah, where you're trying to get to the water, hopefully that somehow that will help you. Kenny seems convinced that the water will help getting to a boat. All this time, it is revealed that Kenny's son, during the escape from the Motor Lodge, had been bitten, and so he is quickly descending into zombification. And you're trying to get this train working, and you meet the hobo. I forget what the hobo's name is off the top of my head.
Is it Chuck?
I think that, it definitely is something with a C. It's probably a precursor to episode 4, why I don't remember his name. probably says something about me. So anyway, you know, Kenny and his wife, Katya, are spiraling deeper and deeper into depression because, you know, their kid is dying and then becoming undead at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you go through, like, a very traditional series of adventure game-type puzzles to get the train working. And, you know, during one of those times, you're talking with Kenny about what to do with Duck. You can't just ignore it. And eventually, you know, Kenny just kind of loses his cool, and he wants to fight Lee, basically. And then what turned out in my game is I and 55% of other players fought Kenny like a fist fight, you know, just kind of had it out.
Oh, really?
I didn't really mean to fight him.
I mean, you don't always mean to fight people.
Exactly. Like, I just started, I was trying to calm him down, and I was trying to, like, be a little bit firm with him as to, like, hey, you know, you have to think about what's going to happen to Duck, and you have to think about what our plan is here, but at the same time trying to be kind of sympathetic. Mm-hmm. Then he started beating on me, so I wasn't quite sure how that turned.
I don't think I fought him.
Okay, so you were able to talk him down a little bit?
I mean, you know, it's such a weird series of events. I feel like episode 3 of all of these 4 episodes stands out most to me as unique. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily in a good way, but you know, the idea of you being aware that Duck he's dead. I mean, you know, we've seen zombie movies. We know what's up. Like, you get bit, you're a goner.
Yeah.
It could take a while, but you're a toast.
Yep.
And, you know, there's this moment where, like, you can have all these conversations with Kenny and Katya trying to suggest, like, hey, what are you thinking? Maybe you should think about this. Mm. And they're always, like, holding on to that hope that maybe he won't turn or maybe things will turn out okay, or they're just complete denial.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, maybe we could find a cure or something. Like, I don't know. It's just...
And it's weird because I feel like it builds towards this tension that never really takes place, right? It's not your traditional tension where you see, oh, zombies are infiltrating the mall and there's going to be a pushing point, right? Like, and maybe you did have this because you fought Kenny physically, but to me it felt like just this whole constant sense of just tragedy. I mean, going from, like, Carly's death and awareness that, like, Duck is dying to the point where you actually choose whether or not you want to put him out of his misery for, you know, on Kenny and Katya's behalf.
Yeah.
It's just this, like, it's just a real downer.
Yeah. And, I mean, the events leading up to, because you know something's going to have to be done with Duck. And so, eventually, Kenny and Katya go off kind of to the side of the road, like in the forest, to, you know, put him out of his misery before he turns. Mm-hmm. And then, as you were hinting at, George, instead of doing that, Katya puts the gun to her own head and kills herself because she couldn't go on without her son.
Yep.
Which I did not see coming, actually. So, because she seemed kind of like one of the more... I guess I should have seen it coming because she was always talking about hope and, like, maybe we could, like, rebuild one day or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big shot to the gut to, you know, to experience that because she was one of the more pragmatic people of the party.
Yeah, I agree. And there were times in this episode where she would talk to Kenny and say, yeah, we do need to confront this. We do need to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. And the way she dealt with it was, like, the most severe way you could possibly deal with it, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about them killing off Katya in that way. Partially because I think it's a little bit out of character. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a shame it happened off screen. Yeah. And I think it happened off screen because we would have to then watch the arc of her going from the pragmatist to the completely irrational and terribly upset mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they thought they could necessarily pull that off.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I mean, it does make sense to me, right? Like, she's really close with Duck. She's holding him this entire time. You know, I think even the idea that she's holding it in makes sense to some extent, that she's going to burst. The thing that really surprised me, and I think is sort of bad form, is that she chose to kill herself before Doc was put out of his misery.
Yeah, that was.
She killed herself literally in front of her dying son.
I was pretty irritated at her when I realized that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, irritated at her, irritated at the writers, whatever you want. That struck me in particular as, like, this is really unfortunate. And then to add on to that, I think Katya added a really good counterbalance to Kenny and a lot of the other drama that was going on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we lost something that is important to the series thus far, right? I think that she adds something that the other characters don't add in her level-headedness, in her mm-hmm. normalcy, in her not having to deal with constant drama between her and Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. The level, like you're saying, like the tenor of the conversations with her were never really shouting matches like they were right. with everyone else's.
And we can talk about this when we get to episode 4, but I think that you can feel that loss.
I mean, you could argue that was probably exactly why they killed her off, because in order to make it more chaotic, you have to take out the stabilizing factor. And, you know, Kenny gets even worse and worse as the episodes go on. So
yeah.
It's clearly had its effect. So did you shoot? Did you have Lee shoot Duck, or did you have Kenny do it?
Lee shot Duck.
Yeah, same here. And it said when I did it, the numbers were skewing heavily in that direction. It was 79% of other players did that as well.
I'm not surprised. And you know what? It's so funny because while I was playing this, this was a huge, like, there were so many oh shit moments in this game.
Yeah.
And this was one of them where, you know, I turned to Nicole at the time and I was like, I just shot a kid in the face.
Yeah. Like, good job, honey.
Yeah, like, this is not an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is revealing about our personalities, but the reason why I did it is because I already had outsourced that job before, and it did not get done. And it was like, well, this sucks, but we cannot have another walker near us, and I have to make sure this happens, you know?
Yeah, wow. I was thinking on Kenny's behalf, but, you know.
Well, by that time, I mean, this reveals my feelings towards Kenny. Like, by that time, I'm not really trusting Kenny anymore, and, like, things just need to be done, basically.
Yeah. So, we shoot Duck in the face.
Yep.
We get the train up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely thought that this was about where the game was going to end.
Yeah, me too.
Turns out it doesn't end. You actually stop. There's this giant gas canister thing hanging in the way, and we get two new characters.
Mm-hmm.
In the form of Krista and Omid.
Yeah, Omid. It was kind of unexpected, but it's funny to... I think they're from California, or they're from somewhere on the West Coast, because he was wearing a Bear Flag Republic sweatshirt, and, like, they were talking about something about the West Coast. So, just on a weird, selfish little level, it was interesting to see non-Southern people in this context.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's just, they're, like, even more outsiders, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do another, you know, adventure game style. You know what, you know, through all this, like, you know, the thread that was running through this is that, you know, you are trying to decide what to do with Clementine this entire time.
Yep.
You know, how closely to integrate her with the new people you meet, how much to train her in self-defense. Like, there's, like, a little section where you train her how... I did, anyway. There's a section where you trained her to shoot a gun.
Yeah, really touching scene. I think that scene is awesome.
Very subtle, too, as to how you had to teach her to aim. You know, nothing too special, but, like, still kind of a neat way of explaining that.
Yeah.
You know, and cutting dark, her hair.
Yeah.
Right, dark, yeah, that's very true. I mean, yeah, you're teaching her how to kill, basically. And so, you know, adding more people and, you know, these people kind of provide an outside perspective. You know, they see Clementine assisting Lee in dangerous situations to, like, get tools or go scavenge. And, you know, they had a couple close calls, and the new outsiders see that. And for them, it isn't normalized yet to have Clementine there as part of the group. So it was kind of a cool way of being reminded of that perspective. Like, she's just a child, you know?
Yeah. I especially like Lee's relationship with Clementine in this episode, because it's in constant, it's like the antithesis of the sort of Duck relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there's this great scene in the van after you learn that Duck is infected, where you have a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Where where Clementine attacks you, mm-hmm. and you actually have to play it. So, like, there's this moment of me going, oh my god, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then you realize it's a dream. But I think there's this underlying feeling I get that you're almost glad that it's Lee and not, it's a duck and not Clementine.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. if it came down to it, and Lee had to choose, he would probably choose Clem over somebody else. And I think that sort of realization that you would let someone die instead of, like, a loved one,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that people have to confront in your everyday life, but in a sort of apocalyptic scenario, it's a really cool sort of emotional arc to yeah. give.
Cutting to the core of how we value relationships, and that yeah. there may, in fact, be an uncomfortable hierarchy of them.
Yep.
So, the final choice that the final branching point that you are measured on in episode 4 is once you clear out this big hanging big rig full of gas, you have to jump onto the train as it's running away from a huge group of walkers, which was kind of weird. I thought, like, where did they all come from and how did they get there?
Yeah, there's children in the forest.
Yeah, I mean, there's like hundreds of walkers coming by, but
maybe whatever. There was like a festival or something.
I mean, yeah, it's like Bonnaroo or whatever out there for walkers. It's like. But anyway, it's a video game, whatever. So, you know,
did you push Omid off the bridge?
I don't think I pushed him. I just think I was like, okay, we have to go now. Like, nothing, you know, yeah. can't stop. And so we did like the Butch and Sundance thing, and he injured his leg, and so it was kind of hard for him to, yeah. You know, to get up to the moving train.
So just, I did push him, uh-huh. and he hurt his leg, and I felt terrible.
Oh, man.
Because so, I was like, yeah. oh, this is like, I was thinking the same thing. This is the Butch and Sundance yeah. part. Like, time to push him off, and like, you know, the Benny Hill music will come on or something. But instead, like, he hurts himself badly and almost dies.
So after that, did you help him into the train?
I did. I helped him into the train.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have the choice as to whether to help him or his partner, Krista, into the train.
Oh, actually, you know what? I think I helped Krista.
Oh, okay. And yeah. then Krista then grabbed him?
Yeah, that's right.
Was there some kind of tension after you made that decision?
Yeah, oh, she was pissed. She was like, no, not me or whatever. But, you know,
you know, that's what Omid said when I... Yeah, when I helped him. Because I helped him because Krista was obviously strong and he was a good runner. Yeah. And was injured, you know?
But I helped her because he was farther ahead than she was.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I'll help her and then maybe I'll have a second to help him.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things, and this is icing on the cake, in my opinion, of like realigning player expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're given this dichotomy, right? Which one do you save? We've seen this before. We think that we're going to decide, is this Carly or Doug scenario kind of mm-hmm. thing, but for Krista and Omid. And then no matter who you save, the other one makes onto the train anyway.
Yeah. After, and the, like, and the other one happens to be pissed at you for helping the other one.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I was glad that it was a really rough episode, and I don't know where my head would have been at if yet another untimely, partially responsible death had happened on my watch.
Yeah, agreed.
So also the big final reveal at the end, the, you know, Clementine had been talking into her walkie talkie that she carries around. You think she's been kind of talking to an imaginary friend or just playing. It's some creeper that's been talking to her the whole time.
Oh yeah. Some weird dude.
Yeah. Who says that he has her parents and is like giving her orders as to how to, you know, get them back or whatever.
Yeah. Creepy.
How'd you feel about that reveal?
You know, I had no idea where this was going to go. I watched the sort of next on The Walking Dead mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I liked it, but, you know, we're going to be talking about episode 4 now. It's not completely resolved in episode 4 either.
Definitely not.
So it could go somewhere interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it mixes things up. I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely an almost Lost style reveal.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. You know, like, here's something that's completely out of nowhere, you know? And so it made me a bit nervous, but I feel like episode 4 got back on track, and we'll see how they tie it up in episode 5. I think that will end up being either one of the greatest or most terrible story decisions that the entire series made once everything is all said and done.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, shall we move on to episode 4?
Yeah, episode 4. They make it to Savannah. Savannah is fucked. And yes, they take up shelter in basically an old mansion, and they're trying to figure out what to do because the boat plan isn't working out. Most of the boats are messed up, and there seems to be some kind of weirdos, a secret society in Savannah that could possibly be more dangerous than the zombies that are walking the streets.
Yeah.
So you get into the house. There is a zombified boy in the attic. That was the first decision that I was... I mean, that you get measured on at the end of the episode. What'd you do with him?
I had Kenny kill him.
Yep.
I thought it would be cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was cathartic or
not. How did he react to that?
He didn't want to. Like, there was... You're given a couple opportunities to say, like, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee tends to pressure him of saying... You know, I did it for Duck, and it was a kindness, and now you have to do it for this boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get used to the idea that, like, it's something that we got to do, you know? We got to put out, take these children out and put them out of their misery.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did a similar thing because, the beginning of the episode, there are kind of shadowy figures in Savannah that are clearly human, and they're stalking you. So there's this, you know, there's like a whole new dimension of danger, basically.
Yeah.
And going back to my mantra, like, the only good zombie, right? Like, if I know that there is a possible danger in the house, you have to eliminate it because there's a bunch of other weird, unknown dangers lurking around. So I had Lee kill him.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Apparently, us, you know, we are in the minority. When I played it, only 19% of other players killed the boy in the attic.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think this... All of the choices in this episode... are drastically swayed one way or the other. At least they were when I played it.
Same here,
And I think that's really interesting, because we mentioned last week that the Telltale really wanted to aim for 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something about this scenario that just pushes people one way or the other. Maybe it's familiarity with the characters. Maybe, you know, people are growing with Kenny, and now they think this is the opportunity that he needs to take to put the kid out of his misery. Or I don't know what it is, but I think... It's interesting to me that each of the decisions, every single one in this one, were usually like 60 to 70-something percent when I finished.
I think it'll be interesting to check in on it a little bit later once the sample size grows bigger.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because we played it relatively early, you know, I mean...
So you think the early adopters tend to be more, like, sympathetic and less pragmatic?
Well, I mean, regardless of how they feel, I think it's more... You know, I think it will trend towards... the middle, you know, just if you get a sample size large enough, things tend to trend towards kind of the middle ground.
Yes.
And so I think the fact that we were playing it in the first week that it was out, perhaps skewed it a little bit. We'll have to see. Like, it's just kind of a hypothesis.
Yeah.
Let's see. So where do we go after this? They start scrounging around the town to try to figure out what to do.
Well, they decide to go get the boat, and we learn about, the town where they kill and get rid of the elderly and the sick and children.
Right.
With this
town within a town.
There's this great barrier of zombie bodies.
Yeah.
That is real unsettling.
Pretty gruesome, yeah. Right. So the chosen people who were like the strongest and the healthiest created a little enclave within the town and then barricaded it off with like a living wall of zombies staked to, you know, pikes and stuff like that.
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you eventually, you know, you meet Molly, who is one of the people that you saw kind of skulking around town.
Yeah, like a parkour expert.
Yeah, she had like one of the kind of mountaineering pickaxes that she used to climb up buildings and stuff.
I would play a game just as Molly. I think that would be sweet.
It would be like Assassin's Creed 7, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, you convince her not to attack you, but, you know, like always happens, a group of zombies separates Lee from the rest of the party, and he actually happens upon this other smaller group of survivors that were thrown out of Crawford, the chosen race town.
Yep.
That was where one of the other questions came up, whether you were rational and honest with Vernon when you first meet him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... He had a gun. What was I going to do? Like, get angry at him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So the first time, I was rational and honest as well. The first time I did that, I got shot, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have a cue to grab his gun, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't think he'll shoot me, and he shot me.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense once you realize that they were kicked out of the town, and they were cancer survivors, and you know, they had had a hard row of it, you know, they had had a hard road up until this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you meet them and they think that they actually decide to help you, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Did you like Bree? She was the female lead in that, in the second group.
The one with the heart necklace?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not. I thought she was really annoying.
Huh. I kind of liked her. I thought she was okay.
But she was so, she's just so antagonistic.
Maybe, like at what point, like what were the points of you know, tension with her?
Well, when she first meets you and she's just telling Vernon to shoot you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course, that. I mean, but I kind of excused her for that, because, you know.
But you didn't excuse Lily.
I didn't excuse Lily because she actually did shoot the person.
I guess, you know what, so I had a huge change of heart. At least, I think, my Lee had a change in how he approached the game, mm-hmm. right? And in the fourth episode, this is my, like, don't take people shit episode. Uh-huh. I was so sick of, like, the way that everyone behaved.
Yeah.
So to me, like, I had way less patience with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a scene earlier in the game when you're being mobbed by a group of zombies, and Ben and Clementine are together.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben has a gun, and instead he just abandons Clementine.
Oh, yeah.
That was my, wow. I was, like, flipping my shit at that point. I was same like, here. You're fucking, you're dead. You're dead to me professionally, Ben.
You're a nice guy. Actually, yeah, no, you're not.
And Kenny, again, like, you know, I liked Kenny in those early episodes, but more and more, it's just like your attitude is really ruining. You're killing our buzz, Kenny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't taking a shit anymore. And so when I meet Molly, and this is another person who's got a stick up her ass because she's super paranoid. Sure, that's fine. But like, I'm not. That's not cool. To me, to Miley.
Yeah. I went through a somewhat similar transition, but I was more focused on Ben. Like, man, again, hilarious insights as to the notes that I was writing down as I was playing this. I have a sentence here that says, "Fuck Ben, he's a coward, a traitor, and incompetent."
Yes. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. And it happens, like, again and again.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that was one of the reasons. Eventually, the party decides to infiltrate the uber town of Crawford in order to get supplies, and you have a choice as to whether to bring along Clementine. And for some reason, they kill children in this town, which I wasn't sure about the logic for. Well, they, like, exile
them, I guess.
I mean, but they, you know, you find videos where they're forcing women to have abortions, and it's just kind of a weird way to run a town if you think you're going to survive long term. Like, you need kids, you know?
I mean, I think my guess is the town's thinking of stability before procreation for the future.
I suppose so. It's just kind of weird. But anyway, I mean, like, I brought her because not only she proved herself useful later on, I mean, sorry, earlier on, but also I thought Ben was going to stay behind with Omid and Clementine would stay behind with both of them at the house.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm not leaving Clem with Ben.
No way. Yeah, no way. And then when they got to Crawford and I saw Ben there, I was like, oh, damn it. Like,
that's so funny. I was scared that Omid would just die and she'd be stuck in a house with a zombie.
Another valid fear.
Yeah. So, yeah, I brought her along.
And apparently that's what 79% of the other players did when I played. So I was well within super majority there.
Yep.
And the idea of Crawford itself was, I mean, it's not a new idea in terms of zombies apocalypse stories. Like, eventually, like, basically, it turned into a fascist state, you know, completely controlling people's lives in the interest of security rather than freedom. And you learn a little bit about Molly. I suppose you didn't care about her backstory, right?
Not a ton. I mean, I think she's one of the cooler characters.
Yeah.
She's very capable, and I think that she shows a little bit of Katya's pragmatism as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a scene later in the game when you know that not everyone is going to fit on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves, and she tells you, like, oh, you know, there's not really room, and I can survive on my own, and she goes.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, that was such a good way to deal with that and have someone who can admit, like, look, I'm not part of your team. I'm not going to attach myself like all of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
We helped each other out. I really appreciate it. Peace, I'm out.
It's also interesting because we're so used to, in video games, whenever you meet a new character, they're there for the entire game, you know?
Yep.
So that's...
Like Chuck, you know?
Oh, gosh. When Chuck was... I mean, you knew Chuck wasn't going to survive.
I thought maybe he would be that, like, gruff old man who, like... He fought his way into the sewer. I mean, that guy's a badass.
That's true. Yeah. That sewer I mean, just as a side note, that sewer sequence I thought was pretty neat. Like, there was a lot of tension.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, also to add to the awesomeness of Chuck, he was smart and saved one bullet for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he didn't turn into a zombie at the end. Exactly. Just, you know, Chuck is always thinking about other people to the very end. Good job, Chuck. Yeah. This episode dedicated to Chuck.
To Chuck.
And so going back to Crawford, eventually you get, you know, the thing about Molly, which kind of put me off of her, is when she just went to town on that zombie that used to be the doctor that was trading sex with her for medicine for her sick sister.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw her just kind of go into town on the zombie corpse, first of all, I was irritated with her because she didn't double tap before she defiled the corpse. Like, what is she doing? How did she survive for this long and not destroy the head? Like,
yeah.
And that zombie eventually comes back to life and causes more problems for you.
That's true.
And also, again, like, my constant fear of irrationality. You know, like, when I saw her kind of break like that, I was like, okay, time to keep her at arm's length, you know?
But for the most part, she's fine. She just had her moment of insanity.
Right. And which it turned out fine, which is good, but the idea, like, the seed that Lily's break planted in my head is going to stick with me, like, through the entire series now. Oh my gosh. Like, I can't fix that.
How does that affect your relationship as you see it with Clementine, though?
Like, that's the thing. Like, Clementine is someone where I always try to be honest with her, and I feel like I'm getting honesty in return.
Yeah. But she's not always rational.
Well, she's a kid.
Yeah, okay, so you're like, that's fine.
Well, I mean, you can excuse an 8-year-old for being scared.
Maybe you can.
Well, again, but then there's that paranoia again, because she was clearly lying to you about talking to the guy over the walkie-talkie, so you can't completely trust her.
Well, and twice in the game, she does something that she's not supposed to. She, like, goes into the house without first saying, hey, I'm going into this house that might be full of zombies.
I was wondering what would have happened if I was stricter with her, because I was kind of, you know, I was kind of warmly paternal rather than harshly paternal.
Yeah.
I wonder if I had been harsher to her early on, if she would not have been so bold.
I doubt it. I mean, I think that the writers want to put a little bit more gumption in her, especially this late. You know, you want to imply that she's learning something, right? Like, she's maybe a little bit more like this Molly character than you first thought. Because up to this point, she's just like a little kid. She's, like, drawing with chalk and having a grand old time and, you know, not, you know. And then the moment you train her to fire the gun, like, what do we expect, right?
Yeah.
She's got to become this person that maybe is a bit more forward-thinking and will communicate with you about what her goals and what she's doing. But she's also got a mind of her own.
That's true. And now she has the tools to exercise that independence.
Yeah.
Did she, when Ben got grabbed in Crawford, did she shoot the zombie off of him?
She did, and it was awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was weird because you had two prompts. You could press R1 to try to fire yourself, and then there was this prompt at the bottom with, like, the X button, and I pressed it, and it was her firing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I didn't get more than one prompt, as far as I understand.
Perhaps it was a difference on platforms, since I'm playing it on a console.
So what I remember, I was just aiming, and then I was, like, taking my time to shoot, and then she shoots before I can.
I mean, the end result is the same, and the idea that training has manifested itself finally, and that's kind of a, for her, it's a huge turning point. You know, that's her first time she had to do something like that.
And she's a crack shot.
And also, she protected the guy that ran away from her earlier in the episode.
Oh, you know what? Actually, this is funny. I don't think she shot to save Ben. She shot to save Molly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Molly went on, like, a killing spree for a second. Mm-hmm. Did that happen to you?
Yes. Oh, maybe I'm getting the characters confused. Maybe she did shoot to save Molly instead.
Yeah. Well, regardless.
I mean, regardless, Ben is the one that gets in trouble at the very end. The zombies are attacking, you're running up the bell tower, there's not, you know, someone is probably going to have to stay behind to stall them long enough for you to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Ben puts himself in the situation where he's kind of dangling off a ledge.
Well, actually, we should say before that, there's a moment when we decide whether or not we want to stand up for Ben.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, I didn't want to stand up for Ben, but I didn't want to have the conversation, so I kept on saying, no, can't talk about this now, can't talk about this now, let's go, you know?
Yeah, and that everyone was fine with that?
No, they started yelling, and, you know, Kenny, after learning that Ben had been the one that had helped the bandits, you know,
attacked
break into the motor the motor lodge. Kenny was like, nope, you're not coming on the boat. And then like Vernon and Bree started shouting, and then Bree got eaten and everyone got distracted. So
they didn't call a vote.
They called a vote, and then Bree started interrupting by saying, hey, how come we don't get a vote too? And that's when went down again.
Cause there was this cool moment, and maybe this happened with you. I don't know, but like the vote was called. Clementine asks, like, don't I get a vote?
Right. Yeah. Right. She said that in my game too.
Right. And I said, yes, of course she gets a vote. She votes to keep him. And then it's like my turn to decide. Yeah. So you were like, I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. I just kept on it was like zombies at the door. It is not the time to start voting on who lives or dies in a theoretical future where we escape successfully.
Yeah. This was another one of those scenes. And this whole arc, this like two scenes together, was my like build up of like, I'm sick of people shit moment.
Yep.
You know, Kenny is just going off like, no, Ben's not coming on my boat. And I'm thinking, what the hell, your boat? Like, does it be found? You didn't bring this with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first I didn't want to bring Ben. Clementine votes to keep Ben. And Kenny says, no, we can't take him. And I'm like, screw you, Kenny. Like, you're not my real dad. You can't tell me what to do. So, yeah, I was like, no, Ben's coming with us. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Then we climb up. We get to the scene you're talking about.
Yep.
Where you're dangling. And you're holding on to Ben, right? This is like a diehard moment.
Yeah.
Choose to drop him if you want. He suggests that you do.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I dropped that motherfucker. Fuck that guy. Like,
oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Ben is the worst. Like, he is a liability. Like, he's always whiny too. He's like, oh, I'm just a liability for you guys. And I'm like, yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes, you are. Like,
you know, there was this great moment because beforehand, when Lise defends him a bit, you get the sense that like he's feeling so much guilt that maybe Ben can learn to do something right. You know, like maybe this is his like opportunity to go, man, I really am pathetic and terrible and cowardly. I'm gonna change. But for me, like the big sticking point was that I'm in this position where I'm holding on to Ben, right? Ben's like, drop me, and Kenny's like, yeah, drop him. And my thought is like, you know what? Fuck both of you guys. I do what I want. This is my fucking game. Like, I get to do what I want to do. I'm sick of taking your shit. So I saved him out of spite.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I pulled his ass up because I was sick of it. I was like, I didn't want people telling me what to do anymore.
And he did survive.
He did survive.
Wow. So I and only 34% of other players let Ben fall to his death.
Yep.
When I was playing, that's pretty fascinating.
I mean, I was tempted. Don't get me wrong. I was tempted.
Yeah.
But I was just so sick of things not going the way I wanted them to.
You might as well.
I might as well, yeah.
So it was pretty dramatic. And kind of in a similar way that episode 3 was very dramatic at the end. And then there's like another extra act that ups the ante for drama.
Oh, yeah.
Clementine. Oh, man. There was a pretty bad scene when I was talking to Clementine about whether or not to search for her parents, and the scene didn't end well, and it basically ended with like, we're either not going to search for them or they're probably already dead. And she just kind of looked away and started crying. You know, she wouldn't even talk with Lee anymore, which was a pretty rough way to end all that.
Yeah, that was tough. I was really surprised that there wasn't an option of saying, yes, we'll go search for your parents. It's either no, they're dead already, or I don't think we'll have the time, or just not saying anything.
Or just straight up lie to her too. Like,
Yeah, because it says yes, and then big bold letters, lie.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. That's just messed up, you know? So she wanders off some time in the night, and you wake up in the morning and try to look for her. And, of course, you jump out of the safe confines of the backyard of the house that you're in, and a zombie, you know, unexpectedly jumps out and attacks you. Yeah. And it is revealed that he grazed you, and you have a bite mark on Lee's arm after the encounter.
Oh, yeah, he's the dead man. Dead man walking.
He's a walking dead, if you will. So you have some big decisions after that because your party members come up to you and they know nothing of what just happened. So what did you tell them?
So first I hid the bite.
Oh,
I
chose
to hide the bite because I didn't want people to react. And then I told them. I said, I'm bitten.
Oh, wow. Shit, what did they say?
It was really cool, actually. I really liked it. Everyone was shocked. And, you know, Kenny had this weird reaction of like, no, like this, everyone was just aghast that he was bitten. And one of the reasons I like the scene so much is that he's bitten in like a sort of mundane way. Like, there's just one zombie. He's in, like, a garbage pile. He easily kills him. It's not an issue, right? This isn't a scene where you're surrounded by zombies and you get bitten and it's your one big final hurrah. This is like, well, that's it. Like, I just got dealt a shitty hand. And so everyone responded of, like, this is terrible. We, you know, we look up to you. I can't believe this is happening. You lied, though.
Well, what I did is immediately start kind of, like, trying to distance myself from the group. So, like, apparently I and 25% of the other players hid the bite and did not tell them that I was bitten. I was like, okay, everything is fine, but Clementine is gone, and I need to go look for her, and it's my responsibility, and you guys need to get to the boat. So, I definitely hid it from them, but I made this deal with myself that if I was going to hide this, I could not put anyone else in danger. So, my Lee is now a lone wolf, and, like, they
Holy
give you this, like,
shit.
Yeah, like,
oh my god. Wow, so you didn't bring anybody with you?
No, it's just, like, and they give you this little infographic at the end of who did what.
Yeah.
And, like, there's various permutations. Like,
there's
sometimes
like seven
it's just,
or eight or something.
Right, yeah. It's like Kenny came with you, or, like, Kenny and Krista and Omid. Yeah. Like, there's basically
just
every
Ben.
Different...
I don't know who plays that one.
Oh, my God. Just Ben. I would... That's just a good excuse to murder him while no one's around. Like, but so, like, there's basically every, almost every different type of permutation for the group.
That's right.
And me and 6% of other people are just Lee by himself.
Yeah, it's like a tiny fraction.
Yeah.
And then the other extreme is bringing everybody.
Right. And I think that was, I don't know, when I played it was like 16 or 17% or something.
Yeah.
So who did you bring with you?
So, you know, I had my, oh shit, I'm sick of this shit, I'm doing my thing. I told them I got bitten, and I brought everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, why did they go with you? What?
You know, I get this, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I'm interpreting it, but I got the sense that they recognize that I'm a dead man. And they're like, well, we might as well be nice to him. We might as well do what he says. And there's a moment where Kenny's like, I'm not coming if Ben's coming. And, you know, I had to talk them out of it and say, look, you know, Clementine's gone. We need all the help we can get, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so I'm bringing everybody, which is pretty cool. Like, I felt, you know, after I decided, you know what, shit's going my way. I'm bitten. I'm already dead. Now shit's definitely going my way. I'm not going to take anybody's crap.
So you're looking at it as being liberated, right?
It is. It's a form of liberation. Yeah. Like, look, I'm dead. I'm dead. We know Lee is dead. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. He's got to save Clementine. And God damn it, people are going to help him, or they can shut the fuck up and go back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. For me, it was not the liberating moment. It was like... because, I mean, I felt the responsibility because I play the game in such a way that, you know... It is the most irresponsible thing to harbor someone who's clearly been bitten because they're going to turn, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you know, this means that this is an end to the fellowship, you know, like, that's it.
But see, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, you know what, we've come this far. They know what to do. Like, the moment they turn, I have every belief that Kenny will just shoot me in the head.
See, and that's because you have... laid that groundwork for me. My Lee is, he has too much responsibility because I'm the one that killed Duck, I'm the one that killed the kid upstairs, I'm the one that trained
Clem.
Super
interesting.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
Like,
totally.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that I had Kenny kill the kid upstairs is me testing him in some way.
And so I have no faith that anyone would be able to make the hard decision, and I don't want the guilty conscience of possibly turning on them, and so I just told them that Clem was my responsibility and I need to go, and, you know, that's that, you know?
You know, my other concern was, though, like, if you go on your own, what if you turn before you can save her?
That is a possibility.
Yeah, man, that is awesome that you got the exact opposite of what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So what do you think about Lee being bit? You know, we should say last week, after the show, we were going to wait to decide whether or not we were calling how the series is going to end.
Yeah.
Which you called it. You said Lee's going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
no, I mean, we both, I think we both were talking about that same type of, I mean, more specifically, I think that there will be somewhat of like a Bioshock 2 type thing where I think Clem will kill Lee.
Yeah.
And now someone has got to kill Lee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or he
and
can
Clem
just
is...
walk around as a zombie. Maybe the last game you'll just be eating people.
It just turns into like a gross like Katamari game where you're just like gotta rolling around. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think I got this sense that I was, like, training Clementine to do what needs to be done, and at a certain point there would be a real test, and, like, she's been passing all of these little milestones. You know, she can shoot, she killed a zombie in this game, she's been, like, scrambling into dangerous situations, and now, I don't know, she will face a pretty hard... I mean, no matter what, she'll have to face Lee, and Lee will have to either tell her that he's going to be a zombie, or will have to do something to, like, send her away, you know?
Oh, man, that is going to break my heart.
I mean, it'll be, yeah, I mean, it's going to have to happen, unless what you said... Do you remember what you said last week after we stopped recording?
No, what was it?
You said, at the end, if they... Clem and Lee will... Neither one will want to leave the other one, so they'll just both become zombies together.
That does sound like something I'd say.
So we already have one half of that prophecy coming true.
my real hope is that, like, you find her parents.
Yeah. I mean, we still have to see if we're going to find out who the mystery voice person is.
Yeah.
So there's definitely still that storyline that needs to be resolved.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do something with that, but I mean, I don't know. My Lee's all alone here.
Well, I have friends, Scott.
Hopefully someone will put you out of your misery. I mean, I'm pretty excited to see how this ends up.
Oh yeah, me too. And you know, I have to say, I think that episode 3 and 4, I think they're really good. I mean, I think that, mm-hmm. I don't want to say each episode gets better, because I think they each stand on their own in particular ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 3 breaks a mold set by the first 2, and then the 4th one, it does it again and puts you in some really cool situations.
Yeah, I think
so
too.
We talked about the major decisions, but there are so many small, tiny conversations that aren't measured and aren't statistical in any way, but are just cool. You know, they're fun to watch.
You know, like when you're digging up the dog's corpse to get its electronic collar off of it to open the door, and like how you handle the social niceties of the situation. You know, like really sets the tone for, you know, that entire. You know, that's another one of the reasons why I had Lee go by himself. Lee was the one that, like, dug up the dog, did everything, and, like, he was alone, you know, burying the kid after it was shot. Like, he's always alone, you know?
Yeah. Oh, poor Lee.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, what else is there to say but bring on episode 5, right?
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, again, we'll do a recap and, you know, see what, in fact, did come true from our predictions next time in November sometime.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, sooner rather than later. They've stuck to their schedule really well, so.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, like, episode 4 had a really short notice release date.
Yep.
They just kind of turned around and said, okay, it's live now, you know.
Yeah, which was great. Like, the night before, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Yeah.
All right, so we'll wrap it up, and, you know, as always, thanks for listening, especially when we ramble on for such a long time. You're always free to contact us. Our email address is experiencepoints@gmail.com.
And of course, as always, let us know what decisions you made and how that made you interpret the story of The Walking Dead. Experiencepoints.net is the website. You can leave those thoughts in the comment section to this podcast.
I want to hear from the people who went with Ben, you know, two-man dream team.
That's what I want to know. Me and you, Ben. Like, what is going on?
I want to know their thought process.
Yeah, like, if I can trust anybody, it's Ben. Gosh, when he pulled that like climbing pick.
God. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or the axe, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh god. Whatever.
Stupid, we can't, Ben.
Yeah, we can't even get into this. Oh my god, I'm just getting more angry with Ben. Alright, until next time everyone, thanks so much again for listening. Really appreciate it. And take it easy.
Bye bye.
God, when he came out of that door with, like, hey guys, look what I found. I was like, you fucking idiot.